In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Dear saints of God, as the Boy Scouts used to say, it's always important to be prepared. If you're going camping, you should probably be prepared and have some matches. If you're doing a little home renovation, you should be prepared by having the right tools. And if you're going to be taking a test in school, then you should be prepared by studying a little bit. But when the Lord comes, and he comes to us, what does he do to be prepared? If a Boy Scout prepares with a flashlight and matches, what does the Lord do to prepare for his coming? The Lord prepares for his coming by bringing you to repentance and to bring you the forgiveness of sins. This is pretty clearly seen in what our Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah in our Old Testament lesson for this day. Now, there is a backstory to all of this. The backstory is that King Hezekiah was mortally ill, and he prayed that the Lord would extend his life 15 years. And at that point, some people from a faraway place that he had never really heard of came to congratulate him. Well, they happened to be from Babylon. And King Hezekiah was so happy that he showed them all of his riches. He showed them the treasures in his house. He showed them everything in the temple. He either brought all his treasures out to show them, or he took the Gentiles into the temple to show them all of the riches. And they were fabulous riches, marvelous things. And these visitors found their jaws on the floor, drooling in amazement of all of these treasures. And from that, they get the message from King Hezekiah that what he did, because he was so rich, is he bought off his God. They begin to think that if you're very, very rich, God will do for you great things. So then Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, and he tells them that one day those guys you showed all the treasures to will be back. And when they come, they're going to take everything. And they are the Babylonians. So this is sort of a grim picture that we're left with right before Isaiah gets this beautiful prophecy from chapter 40, where he says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." In the face of such bad news that they were going to be destroyed by the Babylonians, God speaks this word of comfort to Israel through Isaiah. He tells him to speak tenderly, that the promise of warfare is ended, and that iniquity is pardoned, and that she will receive double portion from the Lord's hand for all her sins. And this is, I think, a beautiful picture of forgiveness. Because if you had a ledger for your sins, and your sin puts you at -2, then God comes along and gives you +4. If your sin's ledger puts you at -1 million, the Lord comes along with his grace and his forgiveness, and he piles on 2 million. When Hezekiah and all Israel gets this horrific news that they will be toppled by the Babylonians, Isaiah delivers to them this message of gospel. It's the message of the forgiveness of sin. The message that the Messiah, who will come one day, will take away all of their sins and that no war exists between them and God. How does this come? Isaiah continues. "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert, in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain hill made low." That the mountains and hills brought low means that those who are prideful, those who are arrogant, those who are self-righteous, they will be humbled. They'll be shown the severity of their sin before a holy and righteous God and repent. And those who are low, those who are crushed by the knowledge of their sin, those who are repentant, they are lifted up. They are forgiven. They are granted the gift of everlasting life. So you see, when the Lord prepares for his coming, he does so by bringing you to repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Now, let's fast forward about 700 years or so to the time in which the comfort Isaiah prophesied about finally came to pass. There's this man in the wilderness, a baptizer, a man who is no slave to fashion, wearing camel's hair and a leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey. This is the one of whom the New Testament says is fulfilled in what Isaiah was talking about. The one who would be a messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. It is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. This is the one who did not point to himself, but he pointed to another, who pointed to the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. So now that the prophecy of Isaiah is here, that the day of comfort has arrived, the messenger is on the scene, and what does he have to say? What does the messenger who was sent to prepare the way preach about? He preaches repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He baptizes for forgiveness. And in a parallel passage, we actually hear him say, "Repent, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." You see, John is standing in the Jordan baptizing people as they confess their sins. But most of all, John the Baptist points forward to something greater, to the one who is mightier than he, the one of whom John says he's not even worthy to untie his sandal. That is the one who is coming to give a baptism in fullness, a baptism that forgives sins, who bestows the gift of the Holy Spirit, a baptism that saves, and that one is named Jesus. When the comfort and forgiveness that Isaiah spoke about comes to pass, there is John the Baptist, and what is he doing but calling sinners to repentance and proclaiming the forgiveness of sins? And why does he do that? Well, because when the Lord is coming, he prepares us by bringing us to repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And so now we fast forward about 2,000 years or so. And here you are sitting in Rogue River, Oregon. And day after day, you're awaiting for the Lord to come again, his return in majesty. And you know he's coming like a thief in the night, but you don't know when. So often you pray that short little prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Lord is indeed coming. And just as was true in the day of Isaiah and in the day of John the Baptist, so it is true today, that the Lord prepares for his coming by bringing us to repentance and giving us the forgiveness of sins. That's in fact why you're here. He instilled in your heart remorse and bestowed to you the gift of faith and the forgiveness of all of your sins. That this day, the Lord's day, he is right here and now in our midst. He's preparing you for his ultimate coming. He's getting ready for his return by working in and through the church, by baptizing people every day, by Christian mothers teaching their children the Christian faith, by fathers leading in family devotions, by pastors teaching the Bible. And in a ironic kind of way, the Lord prepares for his coming by coming. He prepares for his coming in glory by coming sacramentally. That the way that the Lord truly prepares you for his coming on clouds is by coming in bread and in wine. By coming by word of a pastor who absolves all of your sins. A pastor like John the Baptist, who is not sent to preach about himself, but was sent to preach about the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And that is why all of this is so important, because the Lord is coming back and we all have a sin problem. There are two different ways to look at this. The one way to look at sin is like you get out of the shower in the morning and you're all clean and you put on an all-white suit, or for the ladies, an all-white dress with white shoes. Everything is beautifully white. And your whole goal is to go all day and remain in a pretty white attire without getting dirty. Now, this is really hard because you see a mud puddle and you have to jump over it. Someone's dog tries to greet you with their muddy paws. You sit down for a spaghetti lunch. All of this, you're trying to stay clean. And if you slip up, if you're not careful, well, then there's sin. And then and only then will you need to repent, to confess your sins, and to get all clean again. Now, that's not actually the biblical picture of sin. A better picture would be like having a disease of which your sins are the symptoms. So now we're all trying to avoid the coronavirus. But suppose that you were exposed and you had to quarantine. At that point, it's too late to try to avoid getting the virus. You have it. At that point, you're just waiting for the symptoms to see if you start running a fever, if you start to get achy muscles, if you start a dry cough. These are the symptoms. But the thing that gave you the symptoms is the virus you contracted. And that is how we should see our sins. The virus you have is original sin, which you inherited from your first parents, Adam and Eve. Your sins, which we call actual sins, are just symptoms of the virus you have. So if you have homosexual attraction, you have a sin virus. If you've engaged in the sexual act outside of the estate of marriage, you have a sin virus. If you've ever stolen anything, if you've ever coveted anything that wasn't yours, if you've ever lied before, if you've ever used the Lord's name in vain, if you've ever valued something higher than the Lord's gifts, if you've ever loved something or someone more than God, then you have the sin virus. And those are just symptoms of the real problem. And so we repent. For the Lord comes. He comes this day. He comes here and now sacramentally. He is here among you to give you the antidote to the virus. And the antidote is himself. His very own flesh and blood, that he gave himself on the cross to win for you the forgiveness of all of your sins, and he has. And he gives you himself today in washing you clean, in absolving all of your sins. He places himself into your mouth and says, given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And in all of this, the words of Isaiah have come true. Today, your warfare is ended. Today, your iniquity is pardoned. Today, whatever your sins may be they minus 5 or minus 100 or minus a gazillion, you receive a double of the Lord's grace. That is who Jesus is. A God who comes and gives a double grace for all your sin. For you are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.